Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. Great show lined up for you. And let me tell you about it. We're going to be talking about home options, and there's a lot of studies and there's a lot of new information about as baby boomers and people that are already retired, what they're going to be doing with their home. Do they relocate? Do they stay where they are? Do they downsize? Do they upsize? Do they refinance? Do they do reverse mortgage? Do they do all these different things? And I tell you what, it's a fascinating trend that is developing. There's so many new choices for people, and there's so much going on with the, of course, the baby boomers having a major impact on this segment of our economy. It's affecting renovations. It's affecting so many things. So, you know, this is such a big topic. I'm not trying to tackle it myself or by myself. I have a heavy hitter that's going to help me with it. Maddie Dykewald is co-founder and senior vice president of AgeWave, AgeWave.com. And the firm, they have been just all over these major demographic changes. Maddie's an author, speaker, and she is a leading expert on the changing demographic trends, both generation, gender specific, all these things that are shaping the marketplace, the workplace, and our lives. Maddie has spent more than 25 years investigating and forecasting lifestyle and market trends of older adults and those 79 million baby boomers that I talked about. So she's used this to not only write on the subject, she has participated in various studies, but she's got a great book out on Amazon.com that you can take a look at. It's called Influence, How Women's Soaring Economic Power Will Transform Our World for the Better. And I'm very excited to welcome back to the program Maddie Dykewald. Welcome back, Maddie.
Well, thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is my pleasure to have you on the radio show. Listen, this is a fascinating subject. And of course, I have to confess that part of the reason why I find it fascinating is I'm right smack dab in the middle of it with my clients and people that come to me for financial advice. This decision about housing and how to do it and what to do with it and upsize, downsize, refinance, whatever, it's all part of the mix in the financial planning. So this is kind of a big trend.
Huge trend. And you know, as you said, many of your clients are in that space, but many people all around us, I mean, this is a huge part of our population. In fact, the fastest growing segment of the home ownership market is the older marketplace.
Which surprises a lot of people, right?
I know. You would expect it to be young people, but in fact, that's not the case.
Well, and you couple that with the fact that people are, of course, like to migrate. They like to get somewhere maybe where it's not quite so cold in the winter. So we see, of course, people moving down to Florida, which is where I am, but we'll also see continued trends of that. But also, you know, the idea that with longevity continuing to increase and lengthen right in front of us, the fact that that person who maybe lives another 5 or 10 years longer than may have happened in the past, they're occupying that home for a longer period, and that in effect reduces the supply and creates greater demand for new homes or existing homes.
Well, that's absolutely true. But more than anything, and you hit on it in your introduction, I mean, this idea of choice. Mm-hmm. Choice is really becoming the watchword. There used to be these stereotypes. Oh, you hit a certain age and you just do this. You move into a gated community or, you know, you just retrench in where you have been living. But today, people have all kinds of choices. And what we've discovered in our study is that there's two very precise stages of retirement. It's the first stage, which is what we call the stage of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And in that stage of freedom, that's what it's all about. I mean, you have the freedom to choose where to live, how to live, upsize, downsize, and people are doing it all. And I can get a little more specific in a few minutes. And that phase, by the way, usually lasts 15, 20 years.
Mm.
But after that is that second phase where people start to get concerned about their own health and well-being. And that ushers in a different kind of choice around home.
Okay. Well, let's dig in a little bit, if you would, Maddie. Let's talk about this first phase because, and I am, of course, dealing a lot with this, with people who are, you know, in this first phase. And in fact, I like to, of course, work with them before they do retire so we can, you know, I do a lot of work with retirement and people that are planning their retirement. So we want to catch them and help them while they're still in their working years to plan their retirements. But if they've already retired, we help them just the same. But this housing component during the first phase, Talk to me about some of the characteristics of that first phase, which, you know, again, is that first 15 to 20 years before there's maybe the onset of health issues. What are some of the major characteristics or aspects to that?
Okay, well, before I do, let me say, so that your viewers understand, that this is just not my opinion or our AgeWaves opinion. We actually did a huge study, a very large study, and we did it in partnership with Merrill Lynch. It was called Home and Retirement, More Freedom, New Choices. And we spoke to over 3,600 adults nationwide.
Wow.
And these adults were from all walks of life. So not just one socioeconomic strata, but all different stratas, all different age groups as well. So that's how we got our hands around the subject. And what I think your viewers would find particularly interesting, is that two out of three retirees, that's like 65%, say that they are living in the best homes of their lives. Now, that's kind of amazing.
That is. Yeah, because you think that, you know, people are going to be like, okay, well, I retire, I'm going to look at some other options. But two-thirds to say they like where they are. So what does that mean then, that they are going to try to stay there? Well, how's that? What kind of impact?
Well, that is such a good question, because what we're seeing is that choice is really the issue today. We're seeing people do what you would expect, which is kind of to downsize. We're seeing people stay in place. We're seeing people move to new parts of the country, even sometimes outside of the country. And we're seeing people do something that I find particularly interesting, and that is to upsize. Let me give you an example. One of my good friends, we were taking a hike on Saturday, and she was selling her home, and that's because she wants to downsize. And she's in her 50s, and she and her husband decided, yes, we want a smaller, better home. But what she was surprised at, what happened, was that when she sold her home just last week, luckily in just 2 days, above her asking price was she sold it to a couple who were already retired. They wanted to upsize into a larger home. Now, why, you might ask, is that sounds kind of crazy? Well, their children live in different parts of the country, and their grandchildren travel with the children to their grandparents a couple times a year, and they want them to have their own space and to come and spend more time there, vacation with the grandparents.
So they're making it attractive. That's bait. It's bait to get the grandkids there.
That is a good way of putting it, but, you know, that's not so stupid.
No, actually, it's pretty smart, and it's practical, too. If the finances and the circumstances allow it, it is really... You know, it's very practical to plan ahead like that. And I think that surprises the listeners, Maddie, that, you know, people are upsizing as opposed to downsizing. And the thing that also is allowing that is that there are a lot of new financing opportunities or strategies that people can use to get into these homes that maybe, you know, would have been. In fact, I met with somebody just a week ago that is looking to relocate across the country. And they are like, you know, to get where we want to go and be where we want to be, we really need to have this value of home, and we're looking at some strategies that will let them do that that may not have been available, you know, for previous generations, that will let them have that kind of cake and eat it too and have that larger space.
That's exactly right, and people are being creative. I mean, this is a generation that likes to try new things, the boomer generation, this newly retiring generation. They're very comfortable with technology. In fact, many of them want smart homes. They want homes that are ecologically sound and are good buys for the future, too, so that they can turn around and sell their home at a profit. They're thinking about this in a very savvy financial way, but also so that they can enjoy their home.
Well, and you're right, Maddie, and they're also looking at it, you know, of course, you know, we're not far away from the housing, you know, just trashing and crashing of the 06, 08, you know, all that time period. It's taken a long time for it to come back.
That's
and
right.
It's still coming back, but also is that freshness in their mind with the market. So, you know, a lot of people are seeing it as another way of hedging it as opposed to being all in the market.
That's true. And by the way, what I find really interesting is that when respondents told us that they wanted a home big and comfortable enough for their children and their grandchildren, that didn't necessarily mean that they were going to move to a new home. Many of them want to stay in their home because they love their home and they want to renovate. And frankly, it's not like grab bars and, you know, let's put in like walkways to make it easier
right.
when we have health problems. It's to make their quote unquote dream home.
Well, it's a whole new perspective, and I'm really glad you're able to share it with us, Maddie. Maddie Dykewald, ladies and gentlemen, co-founder, senior vice president of AgeWave, AgeWave.com, and the book Influence, How Women's Soaring Economic Power Will Transform Our World for the Better. We'll grab a quick break and we'll be right back with Maddie.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick three CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've had the opportunity to talk with Maddie Dykewald, which is wonderful. She's co-founder and senior vice president of AgeWave, AgeWave.com, and Maddie's book, Influence, how Women's Soaring Economic Power Will Transform Our World for the Better. You can get it at Amazon.com, get the hardback or the Kindle version. And I want to go back. You mentioned the renovation, Maddie. You know, this is bigger, I think, than a lot of people realize. The percentage, when I was looking over some of this information, you know, the percentage really surprised me of the number, the amount of renovation work that is done or paid for, spent, the money being spent by people who are in this category of retiring and wanting to stay in their own home.
Yeah, it's incredible. Think about it in terms of statistics. In that 55-plus households, they now account for almost 45% of all spending on home renovations. Now, that translates directly into about $90 billion last year alone.
Billion with a B.
Billion with a B, yeah.
Good grief.
That's crazy, right?
Hey, I like it. It's economic. It's the kind of economic stimulus that even a financial planner could love.
Yeah, exactly. And interesting to me, you're talking about retirees, yet the number one thing that they want in their home that they might not have had before is creating a home office.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because, yeah, you are talking about the 55-plus, and they maybe the thought there is that, you know, as they do get older, like, you know, it'd be nice to be able to have, maybe I can work some from home. And again, you know, the baby boomers, everything they have touched, all the parts of the economy, all the things that they've affected, as you said, they're willing to take, embrace change and try new ideas. And all of this is going to have lasting implications for our economy and how people approach retirement.
That's right. In fact, they are really reinventing what retirement's all about. I mean, let's think about it realistically. Nobody expected, on average, that life expectancy would go skyrocketing all the way up to almost 80. Now, when people are living to 80, the idea of retiring at 60 or 65, it's kind of crazy. I mean, many people can do it, but many people cannot. Not just from a financial standpoint, but you know, using your brain and stuff.
Right.
I mean, we all want to stay healthy and active as long as possible. And what we've determined from our studies is that work can actually be an antidote to aging.
Well, that's a good way to do it. I'd rather take it from work than have to take a pill to be healthier. But, you know, it's funny. I've actually had this conversation with my wife, Maddie. I'm like, you know, I like what I do. I like working. And I like the idea of working maybe into my early 70s. But along the way, let's take some trips. And,
absolutely.
You know, let's do some fun stuff along the way. I'm not going to wait till I'm 60 or 70 to finally do some traveling. Let's do some now. And I'll work a little longer to pay for it.
And you know what, David, you're totally on trend. That's what a lot of people are thinking. They're thinking, you know, I enjoy work, but I don't want to work so hard and I don't want to work so long.
Right.
So, you know, let me add some fun in. And by the way, when you ask boomers what their number one thing they want more of in their life is, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's time. It's enjoy it. And you know, and again, I think, you know, you talk about some of the things they're doing with the renovating. It's fun to remodel. It's fun. You know, it's fun to get things the way you want it. I mean, it's not the fun part. It's not actually, you know, being out of your home or having to deal with sawdust all over the place. But hey, once it's done, it's pretty cool.
And also just planning it. I don't know. I think it's fun. I'm continuously doing some remodeling myself. So,
you know,
I'm a little biased.
Well, it's an activity and it's something interesting to do. But, you know, it's really about, as you said before, Matt, it's really about choice. And it's that's really the focus here. And there are so many different choices and ways to get there with what's available today for people. So I think that's really the thing that we've got to stress. Now, there's the second phase that as the retiree ages, we get into a kind of a different scenario.
Yes, and keep in mind that, you know, this is not necessarily chronologically driven. There's some 80-year-olds who feel like they're 40, and there's probably some 40-year-olds who feel like they're 80. So, you know, I mean, yes, chronology has something to do with it.
Sure.
But when people hit their 80s, they definitely, even if they're just looking around them at their friends or their family or their parents or their grandparents even, you know, they think that health and the ability to live independently, it becomes a factor. It's not the only thing, but it becomes a factor in home-related decisions.
So that's fair.
People who are 85 plus, that's the fastest growing segment of our population. And 3/4 of them have some kind of difficulties with at least some daily activities, such as, you know, even simple things like housework or getting around the home, just everyday tasks. And when that happens, that becomes a trigger point for making home modifications if you want to stay in your home, or to get a home care provider if that's necessary, or to move someplace where all that stuff is provided. And there's new options that are really pretty cool.
Well, a lot of that is changing. And to the first part of that, Maddie, you know, again, you're speaking to the renovations that they may have made. Now there's another set of maybe modifications or changes that may come. And again, having gotten maybe that larger home might accommodate, of course, you know, kids getting involved, or if there's a caregiver that needs to be there, or there's a separate room that needs to be for one of the spouses to be accommodated in a certain way. You know, again, lots of options.
That's right. Again, choice is a big part of it. And then, you know, outside of the choices that you can make to modify your own home, there are choices as to how you can live, where you can live. Just for example, when my mom was making these kind of decisions, and she's in her 80s, in her mind, the only choice was either living at home and making accommodations or moving to a nursing home. Now, I kept trying to tell her, Mom, there's all kinds of other options out there, but that's all she saw in her mind. Whereas the boomer generation realized there's all kinds of places. There's some assisted living communities or retirement communities that look a lot like country club living. And
that sounds pretty good to me right now. Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me right now, Maddie. That sounds
good. I mean, and then there's that village model that was originally created by some retired Harvard University professors who live near each other. They didn't want to move. They love their neighborhood. They love the vibrancy of living in Cambridge and Boston. So they decided to band together to buy services like home meal preparation, home care, anything that they needed, you know, getting the house fixed up, whatever was required. They banded together so that they could buy those kinds of services together, get the best price, and also kind of create a quasi-community.
Well, it just seems so natural. And, it, you know, once upon a time, you know, families lived all together and it was this, you know, close-knit tribe. And it seems kind of interesting and ironic that some of these models that are being put forth and developed as the one you just described, Maddie, that we're coming back to that where, you know, there's these different ways of, you know, these things being done. It's really interesting. Maddie Dykewald, ladies and gentlemen, co-founder and senior vice president of AgeWave. AgeWave.com is a website. And Maddie's book, Influence, How Women's Soaring Economic Power Will Transform Our World for the Better. We'll grab a quick break and we'll be right back with Maddie.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Maddie Dykewald, co-founder and senior vice president of AgeWave, agewave.com. And you can see why I wanted Maddie back with us for today's program to talk about these trends that, of course, AgeWave, her company, they've been tracking and following these trends and, of course, doing studies and also the study that was done, Home and Retirement, More Freedom, New Choices. It was done in partnership with Merrill Lynch. And it's great stuff, Maddie. And I wanted to ask you, kind of circling back around, you know, I know there's so much that was revealed and found in the study. Was there anything that really stood out to you that, in addition to what we've already talked about, that would really say, look, hey, here's something that was really fascinating or remarkable to you about some of the findings?
That's such an interesting question. Well, there were three things that really stood out for me, actually. One was something that we've alluded to, but we haven't really come out and said it, and that is that older adults, more than younger adults, feel like they have the freedom to choose where they want to live, how they want to live in their dream home. And we actually discovered that there's something called a freedom threshold. Now, I know that sounds pretty fancy, like freedom threshold. What does that mean? But what we found was that people, when they start entering their 60s, they begin to cross this freedom threshold, and they feel liberated from many of the responsibilities and the obligations that they had earlier in life, like living near great schools or living near work, so that they weren't restricted by those choices anymore. And they had the freedom to live exactly where and how they wanted to. So I thought that was really fascinating, that the best years for younger people to think about are those years in front of you, not behind you. I thought that was kind of exciting.
I think that's really kind of a neat take on it. I had a client not long ago, Maddie, that called me and said, we're in a condo and we have an opportunity to move up six floors and have a better view and have a little more room. And what do you think? Can we afford it? Can we do it? And of course, we figured all that out. And the answer was yes. And they had crossed that freedom threshold.
Yeah, that's a great example. So that's one thing. The second thing that I thought was really interesting, there's all these choices, especially when you cross over into your 80s. And, you know, and it's great that there's all these choices. But the number one choice for everyone, or not for everyone, but for most people, was to age in place. In other words, to stay in their home. And the number one reason for that was they loved their home.
Well, they love their home. They love their surroundings. They don't want to have to move. They know the neighbor. I mean, you know, there's something to be said for staying where you are.
Exactly. And, you know, they've made their home. Oftentimes they've renovated, made their home the home for them. And now they need to go back in and make it age friendly for themselves as they get older. And they need to think about what's important. What do I want in this? Do I need some kind of home care provider to come in and help us out a little? Do I need someone to just come in and help with some of the cooking? And the nice thing, which brings me to my third point, is that boomers are very, very comfortable with high-tech home solutions. And they're using them, and they will continue to use them. You know, I see those stories about the self-driving car, and I think, perfect. This is really going to help boomers as they enter into those phases of life where they may need somebody else to drive for them, and yet maybe a self-driving car is the answer.
Well, they can maintain greater independence, and the technology, of course, has been doing this since, especially, of course, this is my observable universe, Maddie, but especially since the 80s, you know, we've seen technology unlock and open up so many new opportunities, and of course, it's impacted every area it touches, and now these advanced technologies, you know, we're getting way beyond, you know, pushing the button because I've fallen and I can't get up. Right?
Thank goodness for that, yes.
So we'll have we'll be having a commercial about, you know, pushing the button to summon the car to come to the front door and pick you up.
And the great thing is that it used to be there was this fear that older people were afraid of technology. And in the older generations, that may have been true, but not true with the boomers at all. They embrace technology. They feel like technology is to help them. And what's really nice is that I think this generation understands its uses and its limitations and will use it to help them live, and you hit it before, independently as long as possible.
Well, they maintain choices, and because a lot of people do not necessarily, I have this question come up on a regular basis, Maddie, is how do I remain independent? And the last thing I ever want to do, you can fill in the blanks, is become a burden for my family.
You bet. That is so true. And you ask anyone over the age of 60, and whether they're 90 or 61, that's what they're going to tell you. And so it really resonates across the generations. This is a feeling that we all have. We love our families, no matter where they live, no matter how they live. We want them to be part of our lives, but we do not want to be a burden to them.
I've already told my parents that I don't want them to be a burden either. So we've already had this adult conversation. No, all kidding aside, you know, is people want to maintain control. And, you know, and I can give you stories, Maddie. I just had a couple I just met with here recently. And they said, you know, we've handled our finances all of our lives ourselves. We've done it ourselves. We've done all right. But we've reached a point where we know that we need kind of an overlay. We need some stewardship. We need some guidance. And we just want to make sure that in doing that, that helps us make the right decisions so that we don't make a mistake or do poor planning that causes us to need to be dependent on our family. So that's really putting a bow around it, what it's all about.
That's exactly right. And people feel this way very, very strongly. And they're very willing to do what it takes to fall into that category of being independent and not being involved in any way as a burden to their families.
All right, Maddie. Well, you got it. Maddie Dykewall, ladies and gentlemen, co-founder, senior vice president of AgeWave, and the book, Influence, How Women's Soaring Economic Power Will Transform Our World for the Better, AgeWave.com. Maddie, thanks for your time today.
It is my pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.